tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth!
You keep telling me that. Who is she?
Well, don't touch that dial, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Swat!
The King of Crack!
The Colossus of Clout!
The Colossus of Clout!
Babe Ruth!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Here's Tom Morgan.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Adam Abdallah. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. You can call us with your questions about your collectibles, whether it's pop culture, sports, political, whatever you might have. If you have a question on the value, we'll give you an estimate of what we think that item might sell for in a current auction. We're giving away this week to one caller a box of Panini Court Kings basketball, so give us a call at 312-332-3776, and you'll get in the drawing. And now Vince Clementi couldn't make the show. He's on vacation this week, so we have a sub. We have Phil Rogers with us today. Phil, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tom, it's good to be back. This is just like old time.
Yeah, yes, it is. You know, for all you listeners out there who were fans of Phil when he wrote baseball for the Tribune for all those years, he's still writing baseball. Phil, where are you writing now?
Yeah, you just have to have a laptop, and you're good to go. MLB.com, one of the national writers, national columnists, and... still doing the same thing, just not killing any trees to do it.
Yeah, there you go. It is. You're still doing a few articles a week, right, Phil?
Yeah, I'm writing five columns a week, and still at Wrigley Field and U.S. Cellular a lot, and doing all the other national things. Spring training, we'll do all the postseason, and it's really pretty much the same gig in just a slightly different form.
So the readers can check you out at MLB.com. What I want to do today, Phil, is mix in some of the prospects that you've seen maybe this year in Florida. We'll talk about some of the prospects throughout the show and maybe give some values on some of those guys, some of your favorite guys. And then, listeners, if you have a question for Phil about a prospect or a baseball question, you can mix those in with the show today, and you'll get in the drawing for that also. Now, Bill Huggins, Huggins and Scott Auctions, you're right in the middle of your April auction right now, which ends April 10th. And you've got some big-time items, some big bidding going on already. A 1957 Topps Brooks Robinson rookie card in a PSA 9 is already at $3,250. And this one really is something. A 1968 Topps 3D Brooks Robinson prototype graded SGC 20, which is a lower condition grade, is at $2,400. Bill, can you tell the story a little bit behind that 3D card?
Well, in 1968, I guess Topps came up with this idea to do three-dimensional cards. So they did a prototype card of Brooks Robinson. He's sort of a one-card promo set. And it's actually the second one we've ever had. The first one got $32,500 in our auction.
Oh, you're kidding.
And, no, this was about 2 years ago. And
wow.
That was actually graded an A. And I think it was in nicer condition than the one we have now a little bit. But I think the problem was that was the first one that was ever graded. I think this is the second one that's ever graded. And I don't know that they knew the sizes or dimensions of how the card came, so they just put it in an A holder.
As an authentic being an A.
So this one has a couple of little minor flaws, but still very, very rare card.
Very cool. Man, $32,000. That's almost as amazing as that Cal Ripken minor league card you had going in that last auction. Do you remember what that thing ended at, Phil?
I think it was $22,000.
Oh, wow. Phil, if you're ever traveling around and you go through Charlotte, look for the Cal Ripken Charlotte Minor League card. Keep that in mind. If you ever see one at a garage sale or something, pick it up. I'll tell you, unbelievable.
We actually have another one for our next talk. So somebody mailed me one. I guess they saw what we got. So.
Really? Is that one graded also?
It will be, but it's not right now.
It will be. Okay. Well, we have some callers on the line. Michael from Streamwood is on. Tell us what you have there, Michael. It looks like the boards aren't lit up here, Adam, for me for none of the guys here, so we better hold off on that till this thing's...
Hello?
Okay. All right. Yeah, Michael, you there?
I'm here, sir. How are you?
Good. Tell us what you have.
Well, sir, I got a 1976 Sports Illustrated magazine that says NFL's new stars, Walter Payton is on the cover.
I know exactly the magazine. You don't happen to have it signed by Walter, do you?
I wish I did, sir. I used to live, like I said, I live by him in Streamwood here, and where he used to live anyway, but I have another one at when he broke the record of Jim Brown, and then I got the one when he passed away. They're all in a frame. Is there any value to them?
Yeah, there's a little bit of value, not a ton though.
I know because they're not signed, right?
Yeah, they really need to be signed for the value, but they're especially that one. I really like the cover, so I mean, I'm sure it makes a great display and a good conversation piece, but not a lot of value to it. For all three of them in a frame, you know, you're probably looking maybe $50 or so. Would be all. Phil Rogers, when you were in Florida, now you went a couple times to spring training in Florida. Did any of the young prospects from the Florida team stand out as you're thinking, well, when this guy comes up, he's going to be unbelievable?
Yeah, I saw a guy that just you could not miss, and you know it looks like I don't know how he can miss the Mets big pitcher Noah Syndergaard. Unbelievable trade, I think. You know, a lot of people give Sandy Alderson a hard time, the Mets general manager, but the trade he made with R.A. Dickey a couple of years ago where he got their catcher, Darno, and then he also got the Blue Jays' top pitching prospect, Noah Syndergaard, and he's had an unbelievable development. He's a monster. He's 6'5", 6'6", but unlike, I think he's more of a big upper body than a big legs and trunk guy, so he looks a little bit different than the traditional power pitcher, but tremendous command, and he's like easy fastball in the high 90s, just an absolute wipeout breaking pitch. And what jumped out to me when I saw him was the poise he had. I kind of go back to the two, I think it was 2002, the first spring Mark Pryor was pitching in big league games. It was how far back I go to see when a young pitcher arrived with the same kind of presence on the mound,
really?
And ability to dominate hitters. And
I'll have to check his cards out. I didn't realize he was that. I've seen his stuff, but I don't think he goes for that much. That's good to know, actually.
Yeah, you look at that Mets with Harvey. Get Harvey healthy this year. Another year of development for Zach Wheeler, and then Syndergaard get there next year. I think the Mets are a team that could quickly go from being hard to watch to being a competitive in that division.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you have those pitchers. I'm a little worried about the White Sox pitching, actually. I think they might be a couple starters and a closer short this year, at least with what they have right now. Mike from Naperville has a question about a prospect. What do you have there, Mike?
I pulled a Byron Buxton out of Bowman Sterling.
Did you? Not an autograph, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, out of that pack I got the other day.
Wow. Well, I don't know if you knew that. Check it out, the centering, corners, edges, surface. I had a non-numbered Buxton autograph. But it was graded by BGS, so if it's really great shape, get it graded. And it graded 10 on the card and 10 on the autograph, which is the best grade you can get. And that, for a non-numbered one, went for $625. Buxton is the number one prospect. MLB.com named him number one. A lot of different spots named him as the number one prospect. So his stuff's really hot, but especially in great shape right out of a pack like that. That's a great pull. Phil, did you see him at all?
I did, Tom. I saw him early in the spring. The Twins sent him out pretty early, around the 10th of March. But I did get a chance to see him. I think I'm one of the very few people that can say I saw him go 0-for-5 in a game.
Oh, yeah, really?
The two games I saw him, he was 0-for-7. So I don't think I really saw him good, as they say. But
was he fast going back to the dugout after he after he made his outs?
You know, what struck me, and it's a positive, he had really good at-bats. And for a guy that, I mean, he really had no chance to make their team this year.
Right.
They sent him out to Double A. Yet still, if you catch lightning in a bottle and you start, you know, get off to a really good start there, who knows? But he wasn't trying to force the action. I mean, you could see his confidence as a player, and you know, the pitches he took, he would go deep into at bats. He took, you know, even with two strikes, he would take borderline pitches for balls. You know, you could definitely see the advanced development. And I had a chance to talk to him, and while, you know, it wasn't, you know, terrific quotes, he was, you know, he was good. And the guys that have been around him and seen him over the last couple of years in Minnesota all were struck this spring by kind of his development as a person, his interaction with teammates and reporters and other people, that he really seems to have grown up. He's had a wrist problem since late in spring training that's kind of slowed him down this year. And maybe it's a good thing because, you know, the third base prospect they have, Miguel Sano, is going to miss the whole year after a surgery, and that's a big bummer. They would try to get Buxton there quickly, I think, but you know, maybe the slow start will allow him to have a full year. There shouldn't be any rush to get him to the big leagues, but there's a lot of anticipation in Minnesota for him and Sano.
Well, check out my Twitter ID is T Crown Tom. I don't have anything of prospects on there right now, but if you send me an item through Twitter and we use it on the show, you will also get in the drawing. We're giving away this week a box of Panini Court Kings basketball. I posted a couple of pictures this week. One item, I posted a page from an autograph book that is actually going to end up, this autograph book is going to be in the June Huggins and Scott auction. This guy hit the jackpot on this particular page. It's Gabby Hartnett and Rogers Hornsby together on this one page, Bill, and they are beautiful signatures. I could see the card companies really going after that to try to use these cuts in one of their cards.
Oh yeah, all four of the major card companies spend a lot of money in our auctions buying just like that. That's a poster child item for them as far as you know, a cut autograph book signature thing and stuff. So they'll make sure it gets some good money.
Yeah, I had a couple more items. I got, actually, right after the show last week, let me see if I can find this here, I got a tweet from a listener who had a couple really neat items. One of them was a Mickey Mantle Upper Deck Authenticated signed Yankees hat, signed on the brim of the hat. I saw one of those sell on eBay for a grand, I believe. And then this one is really crazy. And when the last year of Yankee Stadium, Upper Deck came out with a product called that had all kinds of highlights from the history of Yankee Stadium. And there's a one-of-one dual-cut signature of Pope Benedict and Pope John Paul II, a one-of-one cut signature of the two popes, because they both, I guess, spoke at the old Yankee Stadium. Bill, what do you think of the value of something like that? That's got to be big.
Oh, yeah. Pope, I think it was Pope John Paul and Pope Benedict, right?
Yes, yeah.
I mean, I can't remember us ever having something like that, so it's hard to compare it to, but I can't imagine that thing's not a thousand plus, and plus a lot it could be.
I would think so. Yeah, so those would both be items that you would be interested in taking in a Huggins and Scott auction if they wanted to put
absolutely.
Them in.
I'm sure we've got bidders who will wow these guys with the amount of what they pay for those.
Yeah, the Mantle Upper Deck Authenticated stuff is really good, too. Well, it's already time for the first break here. Give us a call at 312-332-3776 if you have a question about the value of an item. We're giving away a box of Panini Court Kings basketball, or tweet at T Crown Tom, and if we use that on the show, you'll get in the drawing. So hang in there. We'll be right back, folks.
Tune in Sunday mornings at 7 for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
On ESPN Chicago and ESPNChicago.com.
We're back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Adam Abdallah. We're on every Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. Now, on this week, Vince Clementi's on vacation this week, so Phil Rogers, former Chicago Tribune writer who now writes baseball for MLB.com, is on with us. And now we're still giving away a box of Panini Court Kings basketball to one tweeter or one caller at 312-332-3776. And Vince still will deliver the box to whoever wins the prize. You'll just have to, whoever wins will have to email Vince at ercdelivery.com, and this week they will still deliver the prize to you. I was looking, I saw Masahiro Tanaka won his first start for the Yankees, 7 innings, 3 runs, not bad, 8 strikeouts. I saw on eBay the highest price card he's had from 2014 Topps Tribute. There was a redemption for an autograph number to 5, and that card went for $2,000. Phil, did you see Tanaka pitch at all this spring?
I have not. He's certainly going to be something. I mean, gosh, you can't get much better than his resume coming into the league.
Yeah, looks like it. I mean, they really gave him the money for a pitcher, so hopefully he has good stuff, you know, to deserve that. It seems like it. From what you hear, it sounds like he's got good stuff. Looks like he's going to be a good pitcher. Ryan, go ahead, Phil.
I did see him. His first exhibition game, he actually followed in order that the Yankees pitched C.C. Sabathia, Hiroki Kuroda, and then Masahiro Tanaka. So that was pitcher palooza for the Yanks. So I have seen him, but I'm looking forward to seeing him in when he goes 6 or 7 innings. He's something. Again, a wipeout slider, I think it is, the breaking pitch, just a big swing and a miss pitch.
Yeah, so impressive. We'll have to see how he does. That'll be really interesting, and it's good for cards because his stuff's new this year. That's like Jose Abreu, the White Sox slugger from Cuba. Boy, has he had an impressive first week, hitting with power to all fields. I guess if you had to compare him to somebody that we've seen over the last 20 or 30 years, he reminds me a little of Frank Thomas, the way he has big power to all fields. Both those guys have cards in coming out now in all the 2014 stuff, and they're both very valuable. So that'll be a good boost for the card market. We've got the Riverview guy on. What do you have this week, Riverview guy?
It's the great Tom Dino. How are you?
Doing well. What's new?
I've got four. Of course, we're talking about the autograph book. I've got four really great singers, three from the 60s and one is more recent. I've got B.J. Thomas, you know, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head.
Mm-hmm.
My stuff. I have Leslie Gore, It's My Party. She sang, and You Don't Own Me. I've got Mark Lindsay, a Paul Revere and the Raiders. He did Hungry Kicks and Indian Reservation. And I've got Tommy James as Shondell.
Oh, that sounds like a good one. Any of those sound like valuable ones, Bill?
Well, sure. I mean, they're certainly, as our Riverview guy says, they're popular, well-known people with big-time songs. As far as value, I'm not really sure. I mean, they could be 50 to 100. They could be even more than that. I don't think I've ever sold any of those three guys.
I guess if they were all together in an autograph book, that might help, you know. Now, you'll sell just entire autograph books in your auctions if they have a good mix of autographs in there, right, Bill?
Oh, sure. Are these on photos or are they on cuts?
He said they were on cuts. He's not on the line anymore, but yeah, he said they were on cuts. Now, some other big items that are in the Huggins and Scott auctions. Don't forget HugginsandScott.com. The April auction ends April 10th, so you still have a few days to bid. The Daryl Jackson 2005 NFC Championship ring has a bid at $4,000. It'll be interesting to see how high that goes. I bet that'll have some late bidding. There's a June 30th, 2007 Evander Holyfield versus Lou Savarese fight worn ensemble with gloves, robe, shoes, and trunks for a boxing collector. You could go dress up. You could get your own match set up if you win those, but that's at $1,600 already. HugginsandScott.com. Check it out. John from Aurora is on the line. Tell us what you have there, John.
Good morning. I have a Gil Hodges. It's like a 3x5 autograph card.
Oh, like a, on a cut signature? Oh, it's a photo.
It's a photo, but yeah, years ago he was at a show, for a high school show, and he signed all this stuff.
Huh. What do you think of that? I've never seen a Hodges signed photo. Have you had those, Bill?
Oh, yes, we've had those. I mean, you're looking at somewhere in the $500 range for sure.
That's a neat item.
And how do you get that authenticated then?
Well, JSA authenticates those all the time. You would just need to, you know, either send it to us if you were going to think about including it in the auction, or you can send it to JSA by themselves. They're online, James Spence Authentications, and you can send it to them, and they will certainly authenticate it for you.
So, John, if you were going to put that in a Huggins and Scott auction, they would get authenticated by JSA for you and then include that. They would subtract the cost of that off the money that you get from the auction towards the end, but you'd get a good price because of the volume of business that Huggins does for them. So are you considering putting that in the Huggins auction, John?
Yes, I am. I want to sell it, too.
Okay, well, contact Bill Huggins at 866-462-2273 Monday through Friday. Bill, you're at a show somewhere right now, aren't you?
Yeah, we're in Chantilly, Virginia at the CSA show at Dulles Expo Center for the weekend. And, boy, it's been very, very busy all weekend. I think the nice weather has brought out a lot of people. We've gathered in quite a number of consignments so far.
Okay, so you'll be in later this week, though, if somebody wants to call you at
Huggins. Oh, yeah, I'll be in the office Monday through Thursday, actually. We're going to Hofstra in Long Island for a show next weekend, but I'll be in all week.
All right, very good. And then, John, if you have any problems with it or getting through, just contact me. I'm Tom Morgan at Triple Crown in Naperville, 630-357-7707. Okay, we're giving out all kinds of phone numbers here. The number here to call, if you have a question about the value of an item or you want to talk to Phil Rogers about a baseball prospect, ask him about somebody. The number here is 312-332-3776, and we're giving away a box of Panini Court Kings basketball to one caller, or if you tweet me a question about an item that we use on the show, at TCrownTom is my Twitter ID, you'll also get in the drawing. Now, it's the 100-year anniversary of Wrigley Field, and I was thinking back, it was some things popping up of over the years, me, how I've been affected by what's going on at Wrigley Field over the years. The first thing I remember, I must have been 4 years old, and my family went to a game at Wrigley Field, and I was at my grandma's house, and they apparently had told me that you had to be at least 5 years old to go to a game because they figured, you know, I'd be squirming around, wouldn't want to be sitting through a game. So I'm watching the game at my grandma's house, and this must have had a big impact on me because I still remember it now. But I remember seeing it in the stands at Wrigley Field. You know, they do the shots in the stands, and there was some guy holding a baby, and I go to my grandma, wait a minute, I thought you had to be five to get in there. So next time they went to the game, I went along, obviously. But I think I may have missed Koufax pitching against the Cubs that day. I think my brother told me that's who was pitching that day, if I remember right. And then, you know, I remember things like seeing Willie Mays make a basket catch in center field and One time I went to a game where the Cubs were playing the Pirates when the Pirates had Clemente and Stargell and Mazeroski and all those guys, and they were killing the Cubs, and I remember thinking, man, these guys are, like, picking on the Cubs. This isn't fair. And then opening day, 1971, I think it was the year, my friends and I took a train in, went to opening day. We were packed outside the right field bleachers waiting to get tickets, and I literally, it was so jammed outside the right field bleachers, my body got picked up off the ground. The whole pack of people was moving around. So, you know, really some fun times at Wrigley Field over the years. And I'm sure every baseball fan who's been in the Chicago area has some good stories about Wrigley Field. So if anybody wants to share any of those today, you can add that in there. Phil, do you have one top memory? You've been at Wrigley for so many big games when you were there. Maybe one of the playoff games or the Bartman game or whatever. What's your number one thing you can think of, Phil, from Wrigley Field?
The first thing that what you said about being on Sheffield and the crowd being so big, it was just like that a couple of years ago. I experienced that, but it was the Springsteen concert, not the baseball.
Okay, yeah.
it was quite a crowd, quite a bop scene. But what I always think of is the late innings of the Bartman game. I would go from where I was sitting. I would take a peek backwards and look down at Clark and Addison, at the crowd that was gathering there, the policemen on horses. Had the Cubs won that night, you know, the party / riot that Wrigleyville would have seen, and then the dead quiet that replaced that within about 10 minutes after the end of that game, and just if a baseball field can feel like a tomb, I mean that's what Wrigley Field felt like, you know, after all the wind went out of it with that 8-run 8th inning the Marlins put together. So
it was like, you know, New Year's Eve, and then it was like New Year's Day morning, you know, where the hangover hit immediately before the party even got going. That's what
Christopherson says, it was Sunday morning coming down.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, we go back to some callers. Here we have Ryan from Streamwood on the line. What do you have there, Ryan?
Hi, I have a 2012 autographed football from the Chicago Bears with every Bears player on it.
From 2012? Huh? That's a pretty good team. Now, how'd you get those? Did you go and get those all yourself, or how did you get those?
Yeah, my son actually got most of them himself, and the players that he didn't get was Brian Urlacher and Julius Peppers, and we went to signings for those.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty good item. I think you're probably looking a couple $100, maybe $200 to $400, depending on how it looks, who all is on it. But that's a very good item. Okay. Next on the line, we have Eddie from North Vernon, Indiana. How are things in North Vernon there, Eddie?
Yes, sir. Hey, it's a good morning today. I tell you, I've got a couple of pictures. The first one is Peyton Manning. It's in black and white. It's when he was drafted, number one draft choice. And he's holding it. It's black and white, and he's holding a football.
Okay, Peyton Manning signed photos roughly in the $75, maybe $100 range. And didn't you have one other item? Was it a JFK?
Yes, sir.
Okay, tell us what that is. That's a little more valuable here.
He means President Kennedy's worth more than Peyton Manning?
Yes, he is. What do you have of President Kennedy,
Eddie? Yes, sir. It's a collared photo of him and his wife. It's a collared picture. She's looking straight at the camera, and he's kind of looking off camera over her shoulder. It's a beautiful picture.
Did they both sign it, or just President Kennedy?
No. Okay, this is not signed, sir.
Oh, it's just a picture.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, yeah, you would have had big time. Bill Huggins, what would a photo signed by JFK and Jackie go for, do you think?
I
5,000 plus.
Well, I thought he had something there. Now, just a photo like that, not much value, unless it's maybe an original photo would have some value.
Even though you're probably looking at $50 to $100 on photos,
yeah, not big time. So it's
yes, a home run there.
Oh boy. So it's time for another short break here. The number is 312-332-3776. We're on till 8 a.m. Central Time. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8. Vince Clementi of ERC isn't here with us this week. Phil Rogers is subbing. So you can call and ask about the value of a collectible, or if there's a baseball prospect you want to ask Phil about, give us a call, 312-332-3776, and we'll get you in the drawing for the Panini Court Kings basketball box. Hang in there. We'll be right back, folks.
Now, back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
We're back. I'm Tom Morgan with Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. And this week in for Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery is Phil Rogers, former baseball writer for the Chicago Tribune, who now writes for MLB.com. You know, in a classic Cub moment this week, Junior Lake, I don't know if you guys saw anything about this, but Junior Lake went out to the field wearing the wrong jersey. they show him on television. He like looks up at the screen. He had the one that said Chicago on the front instead of the one that said Cubs on the front. It looked like he looked up at the scoreboard, then he looks down at himself. I think somebody was yelling at him that he had the wrong one on, and the next inning he had the one that says Cubs on it. Now, Bill Huggins, as a classic Cub moment like this, if that jersey or both those, let's say you could get both those jerseys in an auction, do you think they'd go for anything extra, or is that just one of those one-time things and really not that big a deal value-wise?
Well, I just don't know how that would appeal or translate into money. I mean, these things, that's sort of a moment in time, which that stuff is very, very hot right now. Tickets from certain games where a famous event happened, or even, you know, programs from those things or artifacts from those games are very, very hot. What it translates to in dollars, I really couldn't put a number on that, but they would certainly be great items for our auctions.
I would think if you could prove the story that it was the actual jerseys from that day, there'd be some Cub collectors that would want it just as for the goofiness of the story.
Oh, without a doubt.
I'll tell you, they've got some classic. What did Lou Piniella used to call them? Cubby, not Cubby moments. Phil, what did he call them? Cubby
occurrences.
Cubby occurrences, yeah. We got kind of a neat item here. Jay Crawford through Twitter sent a message. He has an autographed Johnny Cash black and white photo, a 5x7 signed Bob, best wishes, Johnny Cash. Bill Huggins, have you had any Johnny Cash signed photos?
Boy, I'm trying to think. I don't remember us having Johnny Cash.
He wouldn't have seemed to me like he'd be a real easy guy to get a signature from. I had a cut signature one time that was in a product that I think went for over $500, but I never remember seeing a photo. If he wanted to try that in a Huggins auction, you think you'd want that, Bill?
Oh, I think so. I mean, my guys could do a little research and kind of find out what his items sell for, and if it's a, you know, $500 and up item, we would certainly be very interested in
yeah,
that.
I would think it would have a good shot at that anyway. Here's Mike from Elmwood Park has a neat item. Tell us what you have there, Mike.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Great.
Back when Miguel Cabrera played for the Kane County Cougars about 100 pounds ago, I picked up one of his game-used bats in the gift shop by the Cougars there for $10. And it's cracked, but it's still in one piece, and he autographed it in silver pen. So what do you think about how would that do in an auction?
So that came from the Cougars with a note from them that it was used in a Kane County Cougars game.
Well, they didn't exactly give out letters of authentication, but it was every game, then they cracked the bats, they put them in a barrel inside the gift shop.
That's cool. Boy, what do you think of that one, Bill Huggins?
Well, Mike, does it have his name emblazoned on it, Miguel Cabrera?
Yes, it does. The only thing, though, is it's cracked, and where they taped it, that's where he signed the autograph on the white tape. I guess he figured that the pen wasn't going to show up on the black bat.
Hmm.
Right. Does it say a team name on it? Does it say that minor league team name on the bat?
No, it just says McGrew, you know, whatever the maker is, and it says Miguel Cabrera on it.
All right. I mean, it's certainly the markings on the bat and the and everything would be able to date it. The company that, you know, that we use to authenticate the bats that go in our auction, I'm sure John would have the necessary information in order to authenticate the bat. And if it could be linked to his minor league career, that's a home run, dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's that?
You still good there, Mike? Okay, I guess we lost them, but it sounds like Mike want to put that into an auction. So, Mike, if you're still there, contact Bill Huggins at HugginsandScott.com. That would be a great auction item. Think about it, a guy who turned into such a great hitter, a minor league game-used bat. That's big time.
Oh, to have something that early in their career, yeah. Very little of that stuff ever surfaces.
Yeah, that's really big time. Okay, now, John, is this the same John from Aurora that called earlier, or do we have another John from Aurora?
Nope, different John.
Different. So John number two. Okay, tell us what you have there, John.
I have a baseball that was given to me by an old neighbor of mine that I think is either from the 1945 All-Star Game or World Series, and it has Ty Cobb, Honus Wagner, and Roger Hornsby's autographs on it.
Just those three or with a bunch of other people?
Nope, just those three.
Wow, that's a neat ball. Now, were they probably all retired by 1945, Bill? But Hornsby, Cobb, and Wagner on a ball, that's a cool group. What do you think of the value of that one?
Depending on the clarity and the boldness of the signatures and stuff like that, that's 5,000 plus.
Wow. How'd you get that, John?
It was an old neighbor. I used to mow her lawn, and her husband passed away years ago, and she gave it to me just a couple of years before she died.
So just now, that was the best lawn mowing job probably in the history of the Chicago area there, John. You thinking of selling it?
No, not really.
Do you have any photos of it? If you could send a photo, I'd like to post it. That sounds great. Or if you ever want to bring it by T-Crown, Triple Crown in Naperville, I'll take some pictures and post them. That sounds like a great item.
Okay, great.
Big time, big money there. So, Phil Rogers, have you seen the Cubs' top prospects, any of them? The one guy that seems a bit of a mystery guy is Jorge Soler. Have you seen him at all?
Well, just a very little bit in Arizona. He was the guy, actually, more than Baez, who played a lot also in the spring of 13. Soler was sort of the buzz guy in Mesa two springs ago, and he's really, ever since the Daytona season started that year, and he charged the other team's dugout, probably had his life and career saved by a teammate who intercepted him, cut him off, and didn't let him get in there because he was going in the dugout swinging a bat.
Oh, geez.
And it's kind of seemed like it's been one thing than another for him. But I like guys that people don't really talk about that much. You know, there's a certain arrogance that's developed over the quote-unquote big four. Like, these guys still aren't minor leaguers, and they still could, you know, some of these guys couldn't miss. Soler is in that big four. I think people are now starting to think he could miss. But I think Junior Lake's an intriguing player. I like watching him hit. I was at their game yesterday, and
he takes a rip, that's for sure.
He does. He's got high-end talents, you know. Looks to me like he could be a speed-power guy if he can make enough contact. He and Mike Holt were the two guys that were fun to watch for me yesterday in that lineup. But I like this. They have another infielder, Aris Mendy Alcantara, who's in AAA. I think he's going to be a terrific player. And I had some people tell me that he was playing shortstop last year for the AA team until Baez got there. They moved over to second. Alcantara wasn't happy about me being moved off short. And, you know, I talked to a scout that told me he was a good defensive shortstop, maybe the best in the Southern League, before they moved him over to second. So, you know, I'm not sure he couldn't wind up still being a long-term shortstop for them.
You know, speaking of guys that are a little bit off the radar, the White Sox have a second base prospect that I'd say Gordon Beckham is going to have to come out hitting big time once he gets back from the injury this year. Micah Johnson is a guy who intrigues me as a real speedster who maybe can hit, too. Have you seen him play at all, Phil?
I saw him last year in Double-A. It was a great series. The White Sox, who wound up winning that league, they played the Cubs team in the first round of the playoffs. It was great to see. And, yeah, I really like Micah Johnson. I talked to him then, but I like his approach. I watched him take batting practice. Left-handed hitter, but very comfortable hitting line drives to left field. Seems to know how to use his speed. Very intelligent guy. I don't quite get, like, for all we talk about Billy Hamilton, the Cincinnati center fielder. Last year Micah Johnson had more stolen bases than Billy Hamilton, and it seems to be, you know, nationally, like, that was a total fluke or a footnote or whatever. But, yeah, I agree. I think they're loaded with middle infielders. Marcus Semien, I think, is a pretty darn good player, as people are getting to see in the big leagues. And I'm a stubborn stick. I'll stubbornly stick up for Carlos Sanchez, who's a better glove man than either of those other two. And in the minors has been a big on-base guy at times, and he has a little bit of speed. So, somewhere in that mix, yeah, not just Beckham, but Alexi Ramirez, I think, are somewhat on the endangered species list. Yeah. Ramirez's contract, I think, keeps him, gives him some stability. But, yeah, I think they definitely have some guys coming that will be fun to watch.
Tom from Milwaukee's been waiting on the line. What do you have there, Tom?
I have an autograph from Jeffrey Dahmer.
That gives me the creeps. That's not something that I would want. A Bill Huggins, like that type of thing, any value to? I'm sure there's value. Do you handle that type thing?
We really don't.
No, that gives me the creeps.
Yeah, serial killers, Nazi stuff. We ran one thing one time. It was I guess John Wayne Gacy was a big artist or pseudo artist where he draws things, and somehow we ran a thing in our auction. And oh my God, the feedback that I got from that, never again.
Yeah, that seems probably like a good idea to just stay away from that type of stuff. It's just, like I say, just even hearing
there
that.
There are people who collect that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But you know what? I kind of look at it from the standpoint of the family of the victims, and you know what I mean? It's like I'd rather just stay away from that stuff.
You really need to make money on that, you know?
Yeah, right. Not big on that. Now, the Huggins and Scott auction is going right now, the April auction, and there's some neat items in there. Go to HugginsandScott.com. The auction ends April 10th, so even if you haven't registered with them yet, you can still register now. It goes till April 10th. Lots of neat items in there. It's not all just baseball and football cards and stuff like that. There's a $1,928,000 U.S. Federal Reserve note that's at $1,400. You have quite a bit of money in your auction this time, don't you, Bill?
Yeah, this one gentleman from Hawaii sent us, I think it was $600 or $700 and half a dozen or so, $500. There's some in this auction. There'll be some in the next auction as well he just threw them in an envelope and sent them to us.
Oh, wow. And you guys happily listed them then.
Oh, yeah. Our guy Steve, who does my coins and comics and stuff and money, he was very excited about them.
Now, here's another Twitter message here. Alex J. just sent to me, T-Crown Tom, what value would you put on Jacoby Ellsbury's game-used and only helmet from his year with the Falmouth Commodores, Cape Cod League, I guess? That could be a good item too, huh, Bill? A minor league Jacoby Ellsbury helmet?
Oh, yeah. That's kind of in the same era of the Miguel Cabrera bat and everything. If it can be certainly, you know, dated and pinpointed to minor league careers of these big guys, very, very little of that stuff ever gets out because a lot of it just gets recycled.
Now, Alex added, it's not signed and comes with a letter from the general manager of the Commodores. So you think that goes over a grand, maybe?
It certainly could. That's certainly not off the table, that number.
Okay, so Alex J. from Twitter, if you want to put that in a Huggins and Scott auction, I think they'd be happy to take it. Chuck from Edison Park has been waiting on the line. What do you have there, Chuck?
Hi, guys. I had a question for Bill and a question for Phil, if I could.
Go ahead.
For Bill, I wondered, for Michael Jordan, what are his rarest cards? Would you say the star cards or one of the food issues? And I was going to ask Phil about Jonathan Gray, the pitcher for the Rockies.
Okay, well, Bill Huggins, why don't you go first with the Jordan question?
Well, the best Jordan card really is his 86 Lear card. That's the one that everybody really chases. I mean, he did have those star company issues that were prior to his 86 Lear, but most of the cards, I know PSA, I know SGC, neither of those companies will encapsulate those. Beckett sometimes will, but there's so many of those things that were reproduced and counterfeited later because of the just a very cheap quality of paper that they used to print these things on back then. They're so hard to tell the fakes from the originals.
Which hurts the value. And then Jonathan Gray is the prospect.
For the Rockies. Uh-huh.
Phil, have you seen him?
No, I followed him really closely last year at Oklahoma. I was paying a lot of attention to that NCAA season because of the Cubs having the second overall pick. And he was the guy right there with Mark Appel. He really kind of came on during the season last year. He wasn't necessarily a top three or four guy at the start of the season, but he had a terrific season at Oklahoma, and you know the Rockies love him. I didn't see him this spring, but I talked to people that did, and you know he looks like a high-end starter that could come fast, you know, and power pitcher to get this pile up the strikeouts in Colorado, which would seem to be doubly important there.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck. Now, you know, speaking of real quick here, we're just about out of time, but with prospects and things on eBay, I did an interesting thing from Press Pass this year. One of my customers pulled autographs, Johnny Manziel, not numbered, a Bortles auto to 10 and a Bridgewater auto to 99. And this is very interesting. We started them all at $49, each one of them. Bortles to 10, no bids yet. They end today. Bridgewater to 99, no bids yet. And the Johnny Manziel, not numbered, is at $77. So even though he's not necessarily ranked the highest prospect of the three, it looks like collectible-wise, he might be the guy that ends up going for the most money this year, the guy that people are the most excited to watch, I think. So it'll be interesting to see how they go in the draft. And now it's time to do the drawing for the box of Panini Court Kings basketball. The winner is Mike from Elmwood Park. Okay, so Mike, send an email to vince@ercdelivery.com and get your info there for your address, and ERC Delivery will send it to you free of charge. Phil Rogers, thanks for coming on with us today. It was great. And everybody, don't forget, Phil's at MLB.com now, where you can read his baseball articles. And Bill Huggins, the Huggins and Scott auction, the April auction is going on right now, ends April 10th. Lots of great items. If you haven't registered yet, you can do it now. And don't forget, on the website, there's some internet-only items. Okay, thanks for listening. We'll be on next week. Have a great week.